Hi, this is Patrick Newman from usabilitycounts.com. We're doing our sixth podcast. Today's guest is Linda Koss, a marketing writer based out of Southern California, California, a marketing writer based out of Orange County, California. And I actually met her online. I met you through a Craigslist ad, correct?
Yeah, it was a Craigslist ad that you responded to.
Yeah, so basically the way that I met her was I was looking for some marketing help to beef up my resume a little bit, and Linda was the one that responded, and I really liked her work. And she's actually a contributor at usabilitycounts.com. But today we're going to talk about the power of the headline and how important they are. So Linda, tell us a little bit more about your experience.
Pretty much, I've been in marketing my whole career. I started off as a marketing assistant in an advertising department. I have been the production manager for a very large-scale direct mail program, which kind of ties into our headline theme because we did a lot of package tests, testing headlines and other elements. I have worked at a marketing agency, and I've worked at a few other companies, and I've been a freelancer. So I've sort of done the whole range from the agency side to the corporate side to production to account management to writing. I've done it all. I do a lot of work for small businesses, entrepreneurs, one or two people shows where their marketing program is not necessarily that sophisticated. They understand the need for having good marketing writing, but they are not doing the sort of testing and tracking that I would love to see them do. Sometimes it's because they might be doing something on such a small scale that a statistically valid test just isn't going to be possible. But other times it's just that there's such a small operation and so unsophisticated on this sort of thing that they are not tracking results.
So what are some methods you go about doing that, flying by the seat of your pants and do just the best you can for writing headlines?
Well, I think I keep in mind what a headline's all about and what makes a good headline versus a bad headline. A headline is there, you've got, say, 2 seconds to capture somebody's attention with your headline and entice them to keep reading the rest. I like to think of the headline as being like an ad for the rest of the piece. The headline's what says, hey, you really ought to read this, whatever it is, because this thing is going to be of benefit to you. So one of the primary functions of a headline is to get attention. It also is there to select the audience. So, for instance, if I'm flipping through a magazine and I see a headline that says something about dog owners, I'm going to go right past it because I don't own a dog. But that is good because, you know, if you're selling a dog product, you're really aiming at the people who want to buy dog products. So your headline would get that the attention of somebody who's in the dog product market and select the audience of people who have dogs. The headline often delivers a message in and of itself and draws the reader into the rest of the piece if they want more information.
Yeah,
so these are some of the basic functions of a headline that I would always keep in mind regardless.
Headlines do is they help you, they help your company select a more targeted audience responding to the ad.
Yeah, you want qualified leads. You don't want unqualified leads from people that would honestly have no interest anyway. You don't want to waste your time or their time. If, you know, for instance, if you're selling a multi-million-dollar product meant for large-scale operations, you don't really want to waste your time taking calls from mom-and-pop operations that wouldn't have the money for it anyway.
And that's actually a pretty important distinction because a lot of people, when they write for the web, they don't think about, okay, who's the audience that they want to attract. I mean, it's discussions that we've had previous with some of the clients. Clients think that they want everybody, and they don't necessarily want everybody.
Which sort of segues nicely into two of the other main points I'd want to make. And the first I'll say is you need to know who your target audience is. Your audience for a product is generally not everybody. You might have a variety of target audiences. You might have a product that's good for homeowners and for property owners and, you know, something like that, but maybe it's not good for apartment dwellers. So you need to make a list of all the target audiences of people who'd be interested in your product, and in some cases you would be including as a target audience the influencers. You might have the sort of product that you're hoping an accountant will recommend to his client, for instance, or you're trying to get lawyers to recommend it to their clients or something of that sort. So sometimes one of the target audiences is the influencers of the purchase decision. A great example of that would be cold cereal, children's cold cereal. All those ads targeted at three-year-olds. Do three-year-olds buy cold cereal? No. But they sure have a big influence on the cold cereal purchases of the household. So you start by thinking about who is your target audience for whatever it is that you're writing. Who are the main ones? Not the, you know, third tier, but the really important ones. Then you have to look at what are the benefits of your product or service and which of these benefits are the ones that this target audience would really care about. Because all people really care about is what's in it for me. When they're looking at your website, your ad, your brochure, any marketing piece you might have, people are just completely focused on self-interest. What's in it for me? How is this product or service going to solve my problems, meet my needs, make my life better, and so forth? So you have to pick out which of the benefits that your product offers are the ones that your target audience is actually going to care about. And these are the things that you're going to be trying to scream from your headlines.
What approaches do you take when you write headlines for, like, direct mail versus writing headlines for a website, for instance?
Well, for a website, if you're doing search engine optimization on the site, you'd want to be trying to use your most important keyword or two in the headline. So that is a constriction on how you write the whole thing. You know, it's very important for SEO that you get those keywords in there. Whereas if you're writing for direct mail, keywords are irrelevant. You could write whatever words you think are going to sell the best. So that is a big difference between the two. For direct mail, you know, it depends. You know, direct mail could have a lot of different elements. You've got your outer envelope teaser copy that is just trying to entice people to open it. So that's usually very benefit-oriented or very mysterious, trying to say there's some wonderful, mysterious, something wonderful inside this envelope, and you should open it. Then you'd have the letter, which may or may not even have a headline, and you might have, you know, some other colorful printed pieces in there too. So with the direct mail, if you have a multi-element in the package, you want to think about the purpose of the headline on that particular piece and how everything meshes together into one cohesive package. On the web, I like to think of each page as being capable of standing alone in terms of capturing interest and presenting benefits and selling what they have to offer. Even if it's a page that's called About Us, I don't just say about, you know, my headline and body copy wouldn't just be the history of the company and how we started in a log cabin in 1922. I'd be focusing on the benefits of About Us, you know, what it is about us that is going to benefit you, the reader.
Yeah, and that's actually a very interesting point to make because I've made this mistake time and time again because, you know, how exciting is the About Us page? But a lot of times we actually do not know where the user is coming from when they enter a website because
right.
They're coming from a search engine. And so sometimes the search term that they'll be entering in will be completely different than from what the homepage, how that you attract the people to the homepage.
Yeah. So the headline on any page needs to draw the reader in as though they hadn't seen any other pages. Of course, if they have seen other pages, it certainly doesn't hurt if there's a good, solid headline on every page. It's not going to work against you. But if they enter in what you think of as the middle of your site, you still need a benefit-oriented headline that's going to capture their attention and entice them into reading more. On some things, sometimes for websites it's relevant and sometimes not, but certainly in direct mail and often in brochures and always in ads, you often are trying to create urgency. You know, so a headline for an ad might say something like, this Sunday only, save 50%. But that wouldn't usually be relevant on your website, you know, unless you're e-retail and you're running specials. But for a service company, for instance, you're probably not going to have a website that says, this Sunday only, save 50%. But that's an example of creating urgency with your headline.
Headlines that had well supplies last or limit one per customer or something to that effect, sales were actually 20 to 30% higher because
Yeah.
the headline created urgency.
Yeah, created urgency and also exclusivity. If you're saying, it's only for the first 10 customers or we're almost out, you see that. You see it a lot on Amazon where it says last three, but more on the way. Ooh, I better buy it now. They only have three. The more on the way might be there in an hour, but how do I know?
I think Home Shopping Network creates that urgency because whenever you're watching their show, and this is actually evident on the website a little bit, they actually say 525 left, 523 left. So
Right.
there's definitely a certain audience that needs to pick up the phone or go to the website and buy now. The differences between direct mail and web, one of the things I've noticed a lot is direct mail headlines tend to be a little bit more creative, where the web, you have to be a little bit more straightforward. What do you think the reason behind that is?
I think partly that's what I said earlier about the need to work in your keywords. That really does constrain you when you're trying to write. You can't get onto like a play on words or a metaphor or a quote from somebody famous or anything like that when you're trying hard to work in some very important keywords into your sentence. Also, direct mail is often viewed, each part is just part viewed as part of the elements of the package. A lot of direct mail writers are not necessarily looking for things to be a standalone. Whereas on the web, you want that headline on each page to work as a standalone. But just on the web, it generally just doesn't work as well to try to do something that's more mysterious. You usually need to be much more direct because people tend to click through so quickly. Whereas when they have a piece of mail in their hand, they might hold on to it a little longer or might still have their eyes on it as they dump it into the trash pile before they decide to put it back out. But you just seem to. Everything goes faster with how quickly people go to a website and change their mind. Oh, that wasn't it. Next. People have less patience on the web.
Yeah, that's they have they have a less lot less patience, and they want to
Yeah.
get on to the next
And,
page.
there's another category of headlines you haven't asked about, and that is if you're writing articles. A lot of people write articles either that they put up on their site or that they get into trade journals or the local paper or wherever. And when you're writing articles for headlines for articles, you need to be informative. Headline for an article, you'd want to be a little benefit-oriented if you can, like how to this or seven ways to that. But it needs to be an informative headline that gives people a clue as to what the article's about. Article headlines are really a bad time to get cutesy or vague because people are not likely to continue reading if it's a very vague headline that merely says something like, sorry, I'm drawing a blank here. Can you think of a vague headline and we can record that part again?
No big deal.
Yeah, just a vague headline.
I can't think of a vague headline. I mean, most of the headlines I tend to write myself for the blog are very straightforward, like this is what you're going to read in this article. So
Yeah.
I don't like to leave anything for chance. One of the ideas that you were talking about is the idea of context, like the context of the headline that you were going to write for a 3-year-old versus, somebody that was 25 years old, for example. How do you, when you're talking to clients, how do you convince clients that the context of the headline is very important? Because a lot of times clients come to you and they say, I want my website or my brochure to look like this brochure, and almost all the way down to the headline.
Actually, I've never had a client do that. So I take my clients through an interview process where I learn all about what they're offering, who they're offering it to, what the benefits are, what the hot buttons are for the potential clients, what they've seen out there in the field. I take a look at what the competition's doing. I do a full 360-degree look, and then I come back and tell them, it seems to me that these are the most important things you're offering. We've identified these as the most important target audiences, so this would be the appropriate approach to take with that crowd. I've never had somebody do what you just said, come to me already with their mind made up. They might already have their mind made up by the time they get to the web people, but usually at the writing phase, they're, clueless. The sky's the limit. they might have a budget, but they don't know what they want in terms of content.
Yeah, and you're also, we had a call before this, and you were talking about how some of your clients weren't sophisticated enough to test multiple headlines on the web, for
Right.
example. But you did that previously with a direct mail firm, correct?
Yeah, I did that years ago. I was in charge of a major direct mail program in the 80s, actually. This was before I had kids. And we used to send out maybe 10 different packages a month with, say, five or six different mail drops on each package. And in any given month, we'd be testing a number of different things against our control package. We would test different colors, different headlines, different inserts. And we'd always be very scientific, testing one thing at a time so that we'd have a good read. If you test multiple things, like a headline and a subhead, then you don't know was the change in response due to the headline or the subhead or the combination.
So basically, you would literally write one direct mail piece that had one headline, and then on the second direct mail piece, mailing to a.
Everything would be identical except the headline.
Yeah, but also from a profile of who you are mailing to, you would select neighborhoods of the same demographic, correct?
Yeah, this was actually a business-to-business piece, and everybody in the target audience was businesses of a certain size. It was business owners of businesses of a certain size and a certain age, so it was a pretty homogeneous list in that way. Yeah, geography differences, but other than that, everybody had a similar profile.
So when, and this is just off the top of your head, I know it was a long time ago, what percentage of differences would you see in one headline for another? Would you see 3% better response rates, 5%?
We, going by memory, would see anything from almost no change to 10 or 20% change. Sometimes there were elements we changed that might have bumped up response by 30%. I remember there was one package that we changed from blue to green, and, everything bumped up 25, 30%.
Just because of the color.
Yeah, that was the only thing we changed.
Yeah. There was an article that I linked to from usabilityaccounts.com to 37 Signals where they did a similar set of tests with their headlines, and they saw a 30% difference between the losing headline, the worst performer, and the first place performer. Basically, it was anywhere between. They had one headline that tested at 30%, other that was 27% better, and then 15, 7, and 4. So you, because of the web, because of the flexibility there, you can actually even test more than, say, direct mail.
Oh, yeah, at a much lower cost and get results much faster. And at the job we're referring to that was, 20 years ago now, back then what we were testing against was a very firmly established control package that had a good response rate. So we weren't starting from zero. On this test that you've linked to, I'm not sure if they were starting from zero, not knowing what might work, and then just trying different ideas. That might give you a more dramatic, change in results versus if you have something that's been working and you're merely making minor changes to it.
Yeah, they actually had a headline that had been out there for a couple of weeks, and then they have significant enough traffic to where they were able to run subsequent tests on the different headlines.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's important because having enough traffic for a lot of your clients, the work that the number of people that they deal with is so small, it's pretty hard to run that control package.
Right, you wouldn't get statistically significant results. Whereas if you're dealing with larger clients, you're going to get the thousands of people visiting that'll give you very significant results that you could act upon.
Yeah, and one of this is back from my political direct mail days, just to show that this work hasn't been, it isn't suddenly new because of the web. It's been around for years and years and years. They would do all kinds of polls, and basically they'd see statistical significance at about 1,024 people, where they could actually calculate within a few percentage points of how accurate the results were.
Yeah, I would have guessed at least 1,000, so
Yeah.
that was pretty much right on.
So So you mentioned before that you had several tried and true approaches to writing headlines. What were some of those?
Well, in copywriting, there's a number of formulas or approaches or, types of headlines that are so tried and true that you see them everywhere. So the first that comes to mind is free. Free is the most powerful word in copywriting. The only thing I'd mention there is if you're doing an email campaign, you should not use the word free in a subject line, or else your message is likely to get flagged as spam. But for anything other than email, something with free, such as free report gives you the inside scoop on how to manage your business, or first 10 customers get a free widget. Anything with free tends to outpull something without free. So try to find something you're doing that's free, and that could be a very powerful headline, especially in direct mail and ads. Another thing is if you use numbers or reasons why, such as 7 ways to turbocharge your sales, or 5 reasons why mom and kids both love Fruit Loops, that sort of thing. I know you see that sort of thing all the time in magazines. If you look on a newsstand, half your headlines and magazine articles on the cover seem to be 7 ways to this and 5 reasons why that. Why? Because people always just love these numbered lists. Another popular approach is how to, like how to stop smoking in 27 days, how to eat like royalty on a pauper's budget, how to turn your customers into your unpaid marketing department. People like to know how to. It makes it sound like you're not selling something, like you're giving them valuable information. So I think that's why how to is often a very successful approach. Another approach is called the reveal, meaning you're revealing a secret. So, secrets of successful marriages revealed, secrets of such and such revealed. That can be a good approach depending on who you're marketing to and what you're marketing. That might not work as well on a business-to-business ad or product if you're, say, trying to reach CEOs of major companies. The secrets of something may or may not fall flat on them. But for a consumer ad, a consumer website, revealing secrets is often very powerful. News, if you want to say you're introducing new something, or new program gives you firm thighs in 5 days, or anything that's news, it's new, you're introducing, it's new and improved, that gets people's attention. People always like something that's new. And then another approach is what's considered a command. You tell people what to do. Get the smile you've always wanted. Put a tiger in your tank. Do this, do that. You're telling them what they ought to do, or like get the smile you've always wanted. It sort of implies if you do whatever it is that the rest of the website's all about, then you're going to get that smile. So we're sort of subtly telling you what to do. You should go out and get the smile you've always wanted. We're going to tell you how. So those are 6 tried and true formulas. There's probably 20 more, but these are some of the ones that you really see a lot of.
That's really interesting. And one of the caveats that you had early during this conversation thread was that certain types of headlines should not be used in email communication because they will be flagged by email clients.
Yeah. Free in the headline tends to get you straight into the spam folder.
Yeah, click here also gets into the spam folder. And I think there's the word order or offer also
Yeah, it
gets
might, but
flagged a lot.
obviously you'd want to avoid Viagra.
Oh yeah, our favorite. I think the new one is Cialis, so
Okay.
we'll have to watch that. Is there anything else that you can think of that you really need to drive home the point about headlines that we haven't talked about?
I can't think of any major points we haven't talked about. I just cannot stress the benefit issue enough. That you really need to be benefit oriented because people truly just care about what's in it for them. This is something I feel you can't overstress, and that the benefits have to be benefits that this target audience would actually care about. Your product or service might have a long list of benefits, but not all of them are equally important to the people that you're trying to get to read the piece. Not all benefits are created equal. And the other thing is, a lot of people don't seem to understand the difference between features and benefits. So benefits are not features. Features are a fact about a product, and benefits are how that fact are going to benefit the reader. And to me, a classic example to explain the difference between features and benefits would be a feature is that the product is made of heavy-duty plastic. The benefit of the fact that it's made of heavy-duty plastic is that it's guaranteed unbreakable. So if you had a headline screaming the fact that it's made of heavy-duty plastic, people would say, so what? You can't expect them to connect the dots and come to the conclusion that that means it's not going to break. You know, you'd want to scream guaranteed unbreakable. Now, there's a benefit depending on what the product is. You know, if the competition has products that fall apart and yours is guaranteed unbreakable because of that heavy-duty plastic, then that could be a really important benefit to be pointing out in your headlines.
So when you write the headline, instead of writing it from the aspect of listing all the features of all the great things, if it's really about how is the reader going to benefit from this product.
Yeah, and actually it does bring to mind one other thing that would affect both headlines and all of your copy, is that everything should be written from the viewpoint of the reader. It should all be about you. It should not be about I, me, us, or our company. You know, you don't want everything talking about we this, we that, I this, I that. You want to somehow reword things so it's about you and what you are going to be getting.
Thank you very much, Linda, for appearing on the Usability Counts podcast. If you want to read more about her, her site is at PlumTreeMarketingIncorporatedinc.com. She's a great writer. I used her for some of my own headline writing and get wonderful returns off of the work that she did. So if you have any questions, I'm going to go ahead and link to her websites from the page on the blog too. So thank you very much, Linda.
You're welcome.